Hey, it's Scott Petrick with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. Since our last edition, we've had movement on the Browns coaching staff, an Andrew Berry news conference, the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, and more postseason football. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. What's going on, Chud?
You never get a break, do you, Mr. Petrak? There's no vacations in your world.
I'll tell you what, every year, and it's just me being an idiot, right? I think, oh, it's going to be relaxing, take some time. And then, like the last 2 weeks, I think I've written every day, or if not every day, almost every day. And this morning, wake up to news that the Browns are interviewing former Eagles coordinator Brian Johnson today, right? So I already had a story done. We're taping this Tuesday morning. I think I had it posted by 9:15 or something. So yeah, there's always something going on.
Yeah, certainly is. This is one of those umbrella lead type of things I explained a few weeks ago, where you have two ways you'd like to go. I think before the coaching situation, we would have really hit Flacco right off the top, but you had Andrew Berry with the news conference the other day, so we're gonna hit on that a lot. But I think the two most asked questions had to do with Flacco and the coaches. If I'm wrong, correct me, but I feel like those were the two main things. With a lot of Watson peppered in there as well. But I think we got to start with the coaches before we get to Flacco, because that certainly is the most newsy item. And as you mentioned, you have three changes there. And I don't know if they were technically all firings. Were two of them firings and one was contract was up. However you want to say it, Scott, bottom line is three guys out, right?
And a potential for a fourth, Ben Bloom on the defensive line. He's not coming back as the defensive line coach. They're going to hire a new D-line coach. Bloom might take a reassignment, or he could leave. That's yet to be determined. But the three that are getting the most coverage, and rightfully so, are the changes on offense, right? Because those are significant changes on an offensive staff that, from the outside, did a good job this year, right? Wound up going 11-6 despite starting five quarterbacks, despite winning with four quarterbacks. There'd been continuity there. I think it's more about Kevin Stefanski and the organization not being completely satisfied, which obviously is their prerogative, and I kind of agree with that idea, right? You never want to settle. You never want to just be stagnant. You're always looking to get better. And if you think making coaching changes will do that, then you got to, take every avenue possible to improve the team. And then, I think the biggest part of that is, especially with Alex Van Pelt, right? The offensive coordinator. And it's, you talked about, is it firing? He was offered a different job, but he wasn't going to be the coordinator anymore, and he said no. So, I think it's semantics, whether or not that's a firing or parting of the ways, whatever. But it's significant because he had been there for 4 years. He had been the de facto quarterbacks coach for much of that time. In 2022, Drew Petzing was the quarterbacks coach, but then he left the next year to go to Arizona. So, he had big responsibilities to quarterbacks. Big responsibility was setting up the game plan. We know he didn't call plays, right? That was Kevin Stefanski's job. But it was a big part of this offense. And I think the reason for the switch is the Browns, including Kevin Stefanski, want someone with more experience with a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, right? And it's not just the dual threat, but it's easy to say that, right? A guy that can run. And Van Pelt didn't have a ton of that, right? I mean, he'd been with Aaron Rodgers, he'd been with, I think Andy Dalton, maybe even Carson Palmer. But those guys aren't dual threat guys, right? They're not Deshaun Watson. And we saw the changes starting to be instilled this year with more shotgun, more RPOs, right? More quarterback runs, more read options, stuff we've talked about a bunch, Dave. And I just think Stefanski, he and Van Pelt's backgrounds are pretty similar, right? Stefanski ran the play action thing, the play action passing game and the bootleg passing game and under center. And we saw the comfortability when Flacco played, right? And the offense went to a different level and looked really comfortable and completely different because Flacco ran what Stefanski and Van Pelt have more experience in. So I think this change, whoever they hire, will have experience with a quarterback with a similar skill set to Deshaun Watson. And I think that makes sense. You know, and then the other moves were T.C. McCartney, the tight ends coach, doesn't get retained. His contract had run up. And then Stump Mitchell's flat out fired, the running backs coach. And, you know, people like him. You know, he's kind of a fan favorite. He's got the great beard, and you know, he had a really good pro career, and he's an interesting guy when he talks. But it felt like, you know, obviously the Browns were ready to move on from Stump. You know, I don't know if he had ruffled some feathers inside the organization, whatever, right? They were ready to move on. But it was interesting, real quick, is, you know, he hadn't talked to the media all year. Like assistant coaches
Oh,
every
but he has
Friday,
now.
right? That's right. Exactly right, Judd. I know I'm rambling here, but I wanted to get this in. Right. So all year they rotate. Every Friday you get a coach, assistant coach from the offense, assistant coach from the defense, position coach. And Stump didn't do it all year. So, you know, I don't know if it violates any kind of, you know, contract or, you know, me. It's obviously it's not media friendly. And we wanted to talk to him. We requested to talk to him, and he just wouldn't do it. And he gets fired. And he does a couple of interviews, including, you know, like an 11-minute one that I watched with Cam Justice, and he kills Kareem Hunt. He says he couldn't get the most out of Kareem Hunt. He tried and tried. He was the last. I think he said he was the last guy in the meetings. He said he had Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson talk to Hunt to try to get through to him. And it was just weird. Like, it was just a weird way to leave because he was so complimentary about the organization. And he said the firing was about them trying to get better. And then unsolicited, he just throws Kareem under the bus. So I just figured need to mention that when we talk about the coaches leaving.
Yeah. And then there's, and I don't want to put you on the spot and you don't have to talk about it, but if fans want to, they can go on social media. There's also rumors about other things he was possibly doing that may have led to him being let go as well.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's out there that he's believed to be a leak, you know, like he would leak to some media people. He never leaked anything to me, but I've heard those same rumblings.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know if you'd feel
Yeah.
comfortable
No, I'm
with that.
yeah, real quick, I'm
Yeah.
fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But people can go find that on social media if they want. But you know, just here's the thing. What we're trying to do on this podcast is help fans understand why these coaches were let go, because you're not getting it from Andrew Berry. He
Yeah,
had
right.
what, a 30, 34, 35 minute conference you know, setting with you guys. He comes out with like a 5 minute recap of the season, which I thought was pretty good. You know, I thought it showed a human element, which you know, it was kind of nice to see from him. But one of the first questions was the coaches, right? And he said he was not going to comment on the coaches until the coaching staff has been reassembled. But yet you guys probably pelted him with like 15 more questions. And I just laughed. It was, and I know it's your job and you have to do it. I'm part of it, right? I'm not in there with you guys anymore. But I just laughed because it was like a high school boy that kept trying to ask this girl out that was going to say no and was never going to say yes. You guys were trying so hard, but he was not going to give in.
No, and he's good at that. I'll tell you what, he is good at that. And you know, every once in a while that 10th question, you know, cracks through, and at the end of it, he did answer something. It wasn't super specific about, you know, who they were going to hire or anything, but he did answer one quasi coaching related question. But he's good. Like, he's good at staying true to those, what he doesn't want to talk about. And for me, it's consistent, is he won't talk contracts. And, you know, it's frustrating because you want, like, it's a combine, right? You want to talk contracts. You want to get into, okay, what about this? Are we close to an extension on this guy? And for the vast majority of those questions, he just puts up the wall and says, "Hey, I told you I'm not going to talk about it." Now there's extenuating circumstances, and if they're close to a guy, maybe he'll say it. But you know, when he doesn't want to say something publicly, he's pretty good about not saying something.
Scott, would you say that individually you're not surprised necessarily at any of those, but as a group, it just looks kind of surprising? As you'd mentioned, a team with 11 wins. So when you really break it down, you're not surprised, but yet on the surface, it could look surprising.
I think that's a great way to put it, Chud. I really do. Yeah, right. You said it exactly right. The one that I think people are most surprised by would be AVP, because I think he and Kevin had a good relationship. It always felt like that. He was well liked inside the building. You know, we talked to Joe Bitonio at the Sports Awards, and he said, "Hey, he's a good dude." You know, he had a lot to do with this success. But I also think that Van Pelt was ready to go be a play caller somewhere else, and maybe he wouldn't have left. Like, if he got another job, he would have left. But he wasn't just going to leave to leave. I don't know that. But I do think he has a desire to be a play caller, and that wasn't going to happen here. So even that didn't stun me. It's just kind of how it happened in that collectiveness was a surprise.
Yeah, he has a playoff victory on his resume calling a game.
That's true.
I mean, let's not forget that. So that leads me to my next question here. I would have sworn and told you that Stefanski would never give up the play calling duties, and that might still be the case. But the more I'm hearing, and the way kind of Barry answered the question, like, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but paraphrasing, it kind of felt like, well, that's the thing we examine every year, and we're going to look into that, and it's really what Kevin wants to do. I kind of see like a possibility that if the choice was right, if it's the right person, he would give up those duties. Do you think?
I do. I still wouldn't expect it. But I think he's open-minded, and he said that repeatedly, right? Like every time it come up, I think I'm the best guy for the job right now. If that changes, I'm open to it. I don't think he's a, you know, like a dictator, right? I don't think he is an egomaniac, although I do think he thinks he's the best play caller. Like, and I think if you asked him in an honest moment, I think he would tell you he's one of the best play callers in the league. So in order for him to give up that job, it would have to be the right person coming in as coordinator. And, you know, if you look at the guys that they've hired or that they've interviewed to this point, you know, it's going to be Brian Johnson today. He's had 1 year calling plays with the Eagles, and it didn't end well because he got fired a couple days ago. Ken Dorsey, the Bills coordinator, he's been calling plays for 2 years, and he got fired during this season. Andy Dickerson has never been a coordinator. He's a Seahawks line coach. And, Gerard Johnson, the Texans quarterback coach, who is considered this up-and-comer, right, did a great job with C.J. Stroud. He's only been a quarterback's coach for a year. So none of the guys that they've interviewed, in my opinion, if they get hired, is going to call plays.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that there's not a candidate out there, right, that they can find, and maybe they've already talked to, and nobody knows about it yet. So there could be a guy out there. I'm just saying it would have to be and I wish I had a great example for you, Chud, but like somebody who's called plays in the past, someone who's got more of that experience in the, you know, the offense that Deshaun Watson likes, right? If you had that guy to be the play caller, then that makes sense. But I don't think it's the guys that they brought. I don't think any of the guys that they've interviewed kind of fit that bill.
If Shanahan decided he didn't want to be a head coach anymore and he wanted to move back to Cleveland to be an offensive coordinator, you'd take
right?
that?
I think that's, yeah, right? That's a great example. And I want to look up one more guy just to get my facts right. But, yeah, right. Like, you know, I mean, Chip Kelly, right? If Chip Kelly wanted to come back, and call plays, I mean, you know, somebody like that, somebody who's done it, somebody who's had a lot of success doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like Tim Kelly, right? He's a name that's out there. He was Deshaun Watson's coordinator with the Texans. Okay. Like he's not, as far as I know, and I've seen stuff, he's not interviewed for the Browns. I don't even think he's been contacted by the Browns. But if he were the guy and he's got this experience with Deshaun Watson and he's called plays before, then yeah, maybe you turn it over to him. Right. But it would have to be, in my opinion, a special circumstance because Kevin Stefanski thinks he's a good play caller. So does Andrew Berry, and I believe the whole organization, and not that it matters, but I think he is too. Like, I know he's gotten criticism before, and I think he's always been a good play caller. I think this year he was an excellent play caller, the ability to win games with all those quarterbacks and all the adaptations he had to make and the adjustments and you know, switching styles, all that. I thought he did a great job calling plays.
Yeah, well, there's two quick points there. Number one, Andrew Berry, I mean, obviously, if you listen to him the other day, he feels he should be coach of the year. And it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't sound like Stefanski is going anywhere anytime soon under this regime. They love him, like you said. But I will say, you see how well it worked with Flacco and that style of quarterback. That would be the one concern is, can this Stefanski Watson marriage work out in the long run?
I mean, that's a legitimate question. And to me, it's more about Watson. And I'm sure some people would disagree with me. But I don't think the play calling held Watson back in 2022 or 2023. It was more about Watson. And I do think Stefanski made big adjustments to what he normally did to try to help Watson. And it was the sample size was so small, right? Because he only started, what, six games, but one of them he left in the first quarter. So five games. Stefanski said it, there was a weather game. Then he gets hurt in the Baltimore game, but has his best game to finish, right? So it was a really small sample size, but you did see examples of, hey, it can work. He had a really good game against Tennessee, right? And he took that shot in the shoulder to wind up starting the whole in and out of the lineup. But he had a really good game in Tennessee. He had a good game against Arizona. And then he had a really good second half against Baltimore. So I think they can work together. I think Kevin Stefanski is smart enough and flexible enough that he can work with whoever the quarterback is. And we saw signs of that this year. I just think bringing in someone else with more experience is only going to help. And I think Stefanski realized that that's kind of a deficiency. It could be a
Yeah.
deficiency.
All right, we're going to get back to Watson because I had a question for you on him, but let's wrap up the coaches real quick. I'm going to put you on rapid fire here, Scott, on 30-second clock, because we'll go forever here if I don't.
Right.
So let's wrap up the coaches 30 seconds. Do you have a guess as who the new offensive coordinator will be, or is it just too tough to tell?
Yeah, I think it's too hard to tell. If I were going to pick right now, out of the four candidates, I would say Brian Johnson.
Okay. Oh, nicely done. 10 seconds. All right.
Thank
So
you.
let's get to the next one. Deuce Staley, new running backs coach.
That's a good hire. And you wonder, these moves aren't made in a vacuum. And we talked about Stump Mitchell. Deuce Staley's been out there because he got fired right after Frank Reich got fired at Carolina, right? Frank Reich was a head coach. Deuce Staley was running back, and I think he was associate head coach. Reich gets fired. Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator, had been with the Browns forever, takes over and fires Staley and quarterback coach Josh McCown, who we know from Cleveland, right? He played here. So Staley's been available. So if Stefanski knew Staley and wanted to hire him, then it makes sense that, okay, then you get rid of Stump Mitchell. You think it's an upgrade. And they had Staley in right away to interview. So I think they had their eyes on him the whole time. And he's got a good resume. Played in the league for 10 years. He's been a coach for a couple of teams.
All right. So you almost went a minute
I
there.
know
So
I
we're
tried to
about
make, I figured I was making up. I had 20
it.
extra.
Yeah, no, you did. You got the extra time. So, that's what you get. You get rewarded. Last coaching question, Bill Callahan. Are we going to lose this guy? I mean, what, that would be a big loss.
It would. And, they say so many good things about Bill Callahan and well deserved. He's got a huge part in the pass protection game, huge part in the run game, develops the offensive lineman. We saw with DeJuan Jones. I think it's a good sign that we haven't seen him announce going to Tennessee with his son, Brian, right? That's why he would leave. Brian, the former Bengals coordinator, gets the head coaching job in Tennessee. I think he's going to stay, Chud, but it's too early to say for sure. That he's gonna stay, but it feels like to me that he is. But I'm not ruling out that he could go to Tennessee.
All right, we'll get back to I want to get to Joe Flacco here, but let's go to Watson first since we already started talking about him. So Andrew Berry said that they're pleased with Deshaun Watson. I mean, right? Did I hear that correctly? Yeah.
I
So
mean, yeah.
I ask you, how can that be the case? Because I mean, can we be pleased with the amount of money they spent,
Right.
the picks that they traded to a team that then beat them in the playoffs?
Yeah.
We haven't seen much of them. Injuries you can't control, but still they happen. So how can we be pleased right now?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. And I want to say this. Because you talked about Flacco, and we're going to get to him and how that a lot of the press conference was about Flacco. But when I had to write the story, right, I did a quick post on Flacco and Chubb. When I had to write the story, I led with Watson because he's going to be the guy next year, right? Even if they bring Flacco back, he's going to take a back seat to Watson. So the top of my story was about Barry talking about Watson because he's going to be the key, right? And your point is perfect. You can't be happy with the trade if you're the Browns right now. And you can't be happy with what Watson's given you because he's played 12 games and only got out of the first quarter in 11 of those games. And that's for 2 years. And I think if my math's right, $92 million, right? So that's not any kind of return on your investment. So you can't be pleased. Now, I think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and everybody in the organization has to say that they're still fine with the move. Because you can't, they have no options. They're tied to this guy. The money's guaranteed. You can't trade him. You can't cut him. Too much, dead cap, whatever. They also think that he can be good still. And we could fight about that, right? There's people that say, no, he's done. The last game he played was his best game against Baltimore. So I think it's too early to say he can't play anymore. But at least Andrew Berry acknowledged we'd love to see him on the field more. And Deshaun would like to be on the field. Yeah. Right. Well, that is the ultimate caveat. He's just not on the field enough. So you don't know. But I'll tell you what, Chad, this is going to be 2024 is going to be a huge year because it's 3 years into the 5 year deal. It's the last time you don't have the first round pick. Right. And all of a sudden you can kind of come up with exit strategies. Like if it's a disaster again next year, you got to come up with exit strategies. But the organization is in no place to do that in 2024. They are tied to Deshaun Watson. They have to support him. And now it becomes about giving him the best chance to succeed. And part of that is getting more talent, but also, improving the coaching staff, making him more comfortable that way.
Do you think that the Flacco coming to town and being as successful as he was hurt Deshaun Watson in any way, or do you think that does not matter at all?
Like hurt him like emotionally?
Well, I mean, I'm not like he's going to go cry in the corner, but maybe put another round of pressure on him, and also with the fan base, because we know how huge and strong the fan base is. If the fan base isn't happy and Watson struggles, and they know what they had with this offense with Flacco, that, I guess that's what I'm getting at. Maybe that's a question for another day, but I just thought of it now.
No, I think that's legitimate, Chad. I think it does increase the pressure. I think what's obvious, and maybe it's unfair, but it seems fair to me, is we talk so much about the Deshaun Watson rust, right? And it affected him in 2022, and he was in and out of the lineup, in 2023. And Joe Flacco was on his couch until November. Hadn't been to training camp, hadn't been to any OTAs. It comes in and lights it up, right? Now, he's played longer than Deshaun Watson, and he's got all the experience and all that. But, there's some apples-to-apples comparison there, and there's no talk of rust. It didn't take Flacco long to pick up this offense. I know it was a similar offense that he's been with, but you get my point. So I think that's a fair comparison, and you can look at Watson and go, well, hey, the excuses have to stop. Right, we saw a guy come in, have success. Why can't you do it? And I do think that increases the pressure. I think there are plenty of fans that didn't like Watson to begin with. And then there's a whole bunch of fans that jumped on the Flacco bandwagon because it made sense, right? So I think that ratchets it all up, and that, right, it adds pressure. And you wonder about that dynamic, right? We were talking about, should Flacco come back? And that's part of this dynamic that I think fans, even the fans that support Watson, might be more apt to quickly turn on him if it doesn't go well at the start of next year because they saw Flacco have the success that he had.
All right, Scott, let's get to Flacco now. Unless you have anything else you want to say about Watson, are you good to move on to Flacco?
Yep, let's go, Joe.
So, do you think it's possible, and this was one of the things we teased last week on the pod, and I made sure that we would talk about that this week, and it's a no-brainer, especially after Barry talked about it. And he was asked, and I think, didn't you ask him Was it you that asked him if he would be back?
I think it was Tom. I think it was Tom Witherby.
I didn't you follow it up though?
I
I
might
thought you
have.
followed.
I might
Yeah,
have.
I don't know.
It's all
Whatever.
a
I was
blur,
trying to get.
Chug. Yeah, I
It's all
appreciate it.
clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, bottom line is he was asked. I know Withers opened up with the Flacco part, and then there was a follow up just to be clear. And basically, the bottom line is the question is, will he be back? So, you know, I think a lot of people thought there was no way, but listening to this, there was kind of a door that there's an opening. And I think you gave 20% chance last week.
Yeah.
What would you say this week?
I might bump it up a little bit. Not a ton. I might go to 25%, Chud. And I thought it was interesting, right? Barry said we would absolutely love to have Flacco back. And that's pretty strong. But he also couched it with there's constraint, and I'm paraphrasing, constraints on both sides of the aisle. For the
Okay.
Browns, that's they can only pay a backup quarterback so much. And while Barry said, "Hey, we've invested a lot of resources in the backup quarterback position since he's been here," that's true. But there were extenuating circumstances, right? For Case Keenum, he signed a 3-year, $18 million deal. Baker Mayfield was still on a rookie contract, right? So Baker was not making a ton of money, and you had a young quarterback. You needed a veteran. When they paid Jacoby Brissett, which was just under $5 million. Deshaun Watson was going to be suspended. You don't know how long he's going to be suspended, but you knew he was going to be suspended, or figured he would be. So you needed to get a guy that was going to come in and start games for him. So that's why you had to pay Jacoby Brissett. And then last year, when Watson in 2023, when Watson was going to be the guy, it was Josh Dobbs for $2 million. Well, that's not a bunch of money, right? So I think Barry would admit it. The reality is, if you're paying Watson as much as they're paying him, you probably can't, or would rather not pay the backup a bunch of money. It just doesn't work in the salary structure. So there's limits to what they will pay Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco might get a better opportunity somewhere else. He might get more money somewhere else. Now that's where, and I'd like your opinion on this, Chud. You see him have the great finish that he did. And that proved to me, and I think it proved to the league, that Joe can still play, right? 300 yards a game, all of it. We all saw it, right? Gets the Browns in the playoffs. But he is 39. And it's the same guy that no one signed until the Browns did in November. So is he going to have a big market, right? Like Brissett had a market. Washington was willing to pay him. I think they paid him $6 or $8 million. And he thought he had a chance and wound up Sam Howell was a starter for almost all the season. But Brissett, at least there was a possibility that he could be the starter there. And there's not that chance with the Browns, right? It's all Deshaun Watson. So I just don't know if Flacco is going to have a market to be number one, a starter, right? I don't know if anybody's going to pay him to be a starter. Is there going to be an opportunity to be like the bridge guy? You draft a rookie and Joe's like the guy that starts the season or he's your backup plan. I just don't know, Chud. So that number 25 could jump, depending on how the market plays out. And if it's a soft market for Flacco, I could see him coming back here. But let me ask you, like, do you think Flacco gets a better offer than 1 year, $3 million from the Browns, right? That's what I would like to just like throw that out there. Does he get a better offer somewhere else?
I just don't see how a team could ride Flacco as their main guy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take the chance on that. You just can't. And people could come back and say, well, look what he did. Well, you know, it was incredible, especially coming off of no training camp and being on the couch. I will not dismiss the story. That said, he didn't do it for a whole season. He did show signs with those interceptions in different games. That is concerning. He's only getting older. And like you said, if you bring him in as a backup or a bridge, like you just said, I could see that happening. But I just don't see how you could rely on him to be your main guy. And I think that it would be possible then to land in the Browns' hands.
Yeah.
That said, there was one thing that Barry said that makes me think that, you know, it won't happen. And I'm not saying it won't, but it would maybe lean this way is when he compared it to the Jacoby Brissett. Remember, he said something along the lines. He
Yeah.
goes, Well, it's similar to the Jacoby situation last year. And when I hear him say that, I think, well, that situation was Jacoby leaving.
Right.
So if he's going to compare that to that, right?
Yeah, no, it's that you're exactly right. But I think he means Jacoby had better options than, you know, the Browns would have loved to have Jacoby back. But he had better options. So that's the question with Joe. Will he have better options? And I just don't know. We talked about the, I think we've talked about the value of backup quarterback feeling like it should increase because so many guys got hurt this year. And there's just not enough quality backups. I mean, there's not enough quality starters in this league, right? So, like, there is a place for Joe Flacco in this league. And,
Sure. Yeah.
right? Right. And it, you know, there's a whole bunch of teams I think that should have Joe Flacco in line to be their number two quarterback. And if you're not paying $1 billion for your starter, then you can pay Flacco $5 million. And the Browns probably won't pay that. So that's why I think he's going to leave. And that's why I think, yeah, that's why I think he's going to leave. But if those opportunities aren't there and nobody's willing to pay him more than the, let's say, $3 million that the Browns would be willing, then he might say, hey, I like this position. I like this team. It was a good fit. We had fun, blah, blah, blah. And then I could see him returning. That's why I'm not closing the door on it, but I would not bet on it, obviously, given a 20, 25% I've based it on. But the question then becomes, Chud, and we know what Andrew Berry said, but what do you think? Is it an issue bringing Flacco back as the backup behind Watson, given what we talked about, you know, a little bit ago, the pressure on Watson, you know, is Flacco too big of a guy looking behind him that you would not want that dynamic?
Barry said that they could do it.
He's, yeah. What do you think? Do you think he's full of malarkey?
I would have said before I heard Barry answered, I would have said that no, that it couldn't happen, but somehow I kind of believe him. I just feel like Flacco is such a good dude that he'd be able to pull it off. And I think Watson knows deep down, yeah, there might be pressure, but he also knows there's no way they're gonna not start him, right? With the he knows he's the guy. So maybe they could pull it off. That said, I apologize, the ambulance going by me right now.
No, you're good.
Anyway, yeah. I just I don't know. Maybe it could happen, Scott. What do you think? I think it's possible. I don't know if it will, but it's possible.
Yeah, I do too. I think Flacco is a good teammate where that would not be an issue. And I talked to enough players that feel the same way. And they really like Joe. He made a strong impression in his whatever month plus. Then I don't think it would be an issue inside that locker room. You know, the only guy you'd have to check with Watson to make sure he wouldn't feel threatened. But it seemed like they got along well enough. So I believe Barry when he says that that's not a problem at all.
Do you remember one of the podcasts when the whole Dobbs thing was going on, and I asked you, and you thought that we discussed why can't they keep three quarterbacks? Well, isn't it funny that that came up here, and now
Yeah.
Barry's saying, yeah, we could keep three quarterbacks, but it didn't seem like they thought that way, but now they do.
Well, I mean, they had. Yeah, I mean, they would have kept three if they didn't get that Dobbs trade offer, right? They would have kept three. He said their philosophy is to have three. Now, is it three on the roster, three on the practice, you know, the third guy on the practice squad? You know, that's. I think that's flexible how they want to play it. It depends who the third guy is. Can you get him on a new practice squad? But yeah, you know, I don't want to spend too much time, but I think they should have gotten the message that they left themselves short at backup quarterback last year with Dorian Thompson-Robinson being the guy. And the question now is, if you don't have Flacco come back, do you trust DTR to be your number two next year? And I would say no. I'm sure the Browns like him better than I do as a quarterback and like his potential better. But could they risk it again, especially given Watson coming off the injury? I would say no. I would say they'd have to bring in a veteran who, if he needs to start, you trust him more than DTR.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations to Baker Mayfield. What a run. At the end of the day, though, he did what he did so many times. He can't pull off that fourth quarter drive, right? That was a terrible interception there, but give him credit. What are your thoughts on Baker? And should we miss Baker Mayfield, Scott? Do we regret losing Baker Mayfield?
Well, I know people do. I know fans do. I think from a Browns perspective, they should not regret Baker not being here. I mean, credit to Baker, right? I mean, got a team to the playoffs, won a playoff game. Credit to him. It wasn't an easy spot. He didn't have a lot of options. He had to win that job, right? It's not like he came in and they handed him the job. He won the job, then he played pretty well. Having said that, I feel the same way about Baker now that I did when he left. When the Browns traded him, and obviously under weird circumstances. He's at his peak. He's not a top 10, 12 quarterback in this league. And with the great quarterbacks out there, you should be striving as an organization to get an elite quarterback. And I don't think Baker will ever be elite. I think he's got too many issues. And that's why I wasn't in favor of Deshaun Watson for off the field things, but I certainly understood the Browns going all in to try to get an upgraded quarterback. And I think that's the way you have to operate in this league, is to get that a guy you think is elite. Now, if Deshaun Watson never plays elite football for the Browns, then obviously it's a disastrous trade and you're better off with Baker Mayfield. But I don't think Baker's ever going to be that guy. Baker looks like he looked 100 times when I've seen him play, right? He makes some crazy stuff happens. He keeps plays alive. He throws it accurately. He's got a good arm. Like, none of that was ever in question. But he still has trouble seeing out of the pocket when there's a bunch of traffic around him, right? Makes a big mistake at a bad time. Like, there's just too many ebbs and flows with Baker, and I think the ceiling isn't high enough.
How about this? We teased this last week too. I wanted to ask you about how important winning the division is. And Andrew Berry talked about at the very beginning, boy, just dare to dream, Scott, right? When he talked about hosting a home game, he gave the whole thing about watching the Lions and finally hosting a home game and winning one. And he just thought about what that would be like. And he thought about the Browns Jets game when they got into the playoffs and how, I mean, it's been since 1994 season since they've hosted a home playoff game. So, I mean, you have memories of the 80s, right? As I'm listening to Barry, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love a home game. But the thing is, I mean, that just goes to show you how important it is to win a division. I mean, if you are a wild card team, chances are you're not going to have a home game, right? I mean, look at it this year. There hasn't been a wild card team that's had a home game this year, correct? Am I missing
No,
one?
no, you're right.
Right.
You're right.
So you're in one of the toughest divisions in the NFL, and it's like, man, if they can't figure out how to win on the road, and not saying they couldn't, but if you want this home playoff game so badly, Scott, you got to win the division. I mean, it is critical to win this division.
Oh my gosh, Chud, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. And the last time the Browns hosted a playoff game, which Barry referred to, was in that 1994 season. It was January 1st, 95. They
Right.
were a wild card team, because then the next week they went on the road to play Pittsburgh and lost in Pittsburgh. So back then, wild card teams played each other. It wasn't division teams
Right.
hosting wild cards, right? So yeah, you need to win your division. It makes it simpler. It just makes the path to the Super Bowl simpler. And that's the goal. And that's the plan. It's easier to win at home. And we talk about maybe it doesn't matter in the regular season anymore. The home field advantage matters in the playoffs. And I don't have those stats off the top of my head to back it up. I just know what you see in Detroit, right? Like what you see in Baltimore gets rocking. We saw in Kansas City for a long time. Doesn't mean Kansas City won't go into Baltimore and win. Obviously, they went into Buffalo and won, and Buffalo's got a great home field. But it does matter in the playoffs. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting how Barry talked about the Lions, the atmosphere there. He talked about Cleveland wanting to see a home playoff game. But yeah, whenever we're going down to Houston, I was like, oh, it's not going to matter. But it does. It the path is so much easier at home, and that comes to winning the division.
Yeah, I mean it's and what's the last year they won a division? 89, right?
89. Yeah, they had. Yeah, yes, that was the last time because they went wild card in 94, and they haven't won the AFC North since the start in 2002.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Because 80, I think
Yeah,
that's right, 89,
right.
isn't
They
it?
won in 86, 87, 89. Yeah.
Yeah, 86, the drive, the fumble, and then 89 against the Broncos again. So yeah, gotta get that division. It's key. I know one thing you wanted to talk about. I have one more topic I want to hit before we get to the playoffs. I know you had mentioned rosters and the roster and free agents. Do you want to save that for next
Oh
week or the week
yeah.
after? Is
No,
that
yeah,
is
we
there
can, yeah, let's save that. We don't need to get
anything
there
you want to get
today.
into there?
No.
All right,
But
so
I do a real
yeah, go
quick
ahead.
that as we're taping this, NFL Network's Tom Pelissero says the Browns have requested permission to interview Kellen Moore for the coordinator job, and I confirm that they have requested permission. I don't know yet if it's granted, but it feels like he's going to be allowed to do interviews. So that's an interesting, that's a big name, right? He was in Dallas, then he was in LA, right? He was at the Chargers last year. So with the Harbaugh hire, he becomes available, assuming, Harbaugh doesn't bring him back. So that's another name to add to that pile. And he's kind of a big name, right? Like he's been a head coaching candidate, right? Like his name's been buzzed, he's been buzzing out there. There's been buzz behind it. Doesn't have a ton of, just off the top of my head, doesn't have a ton of that dual threat stuff we talked about. Dak runs some, ran some in Dallas, but not a ton. Not like, Deshaun Watson and Jalen Hurts. But he's another intriguing name.
All right, good stuff there. Yeah, so we're gonna have plenty to talk about over the next few weeks. Before we get to the playoffs, I want to get your grade, Scott. I was thinking about this, and we always say I don't really like to grade drafts necessarily because you don't know what's really to come right until after
Sure.
they happen. But I think you can grade the season, right? I mean, what grade would you give the Browns? I have my grade. I can go first if you want, or you can. I'm putting you more on the spot. But overall, you're the teacher, the Browns report card. What's your final grade of the 2023 season?
I'm gonna go B plus. I
B
think,
plus.
yeah.
Okay.
And I'm glad you brought this up. And I'm working on some end of the year stuff that hopefully I get to one of these days when there's not breaking news.
Yeah.
But part of
So
that is,
never.
yeah, right, exactly. Right, at 2 o'clock in the morning. So part of it is how do you process the season-ending loss, right? The playoff loss after what was a remarkable season. And it's tough to do and it affects the grade, but I don't think it overwhelms the season. I don't think it obscures the season. I think you still have to look at 11-6, a playoff appearance, what they did, Joe Flacco, all of it, right? We all know all the how they got there, everything that happened, all the injuries they had to overcome. It's certainly a passing grade. It's well above a passing grade. I'm hesitant to give it any kind of an A just because they didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you could give an A. No way. And now I will say this. If you're comparing it against Browns teams of the past and where the organization has been, hey, you could say A plus,
Sure.
right? Because I mean, we finally got to the playoffs and had, I mean, it was a fun season. So in that regard. But hey, listen, comparing to your past, you're compared against the rest of the NFL. And if you do that, I'm going to go along with you, but I'm going to not put the plus
No
in there.
plus.
I'm going just a B,
Yeah.
and simply because of the way they played on the road, their defense, not winning the division and not winning a playoff game takes it down from a B plus to a B. And also too, Barry said we picked a bad day to have a bad day, and that took it from a B plus to a B to me. That's the final thing I remember.
Yeah.
So that takes it down just a little bit, but I don't disagree with your B plus. I think that's a good grade. I'm just gonna, and also not to be the same as you, I'm gonna go B.
That's certainly fair, Chud. And I do think I'm grading on a curve. I think the Browns' past has certainly weighs in on my grade. you know, if you're right, if you're Dallas and you have a great season losing the first round, I mean,
Oh,
it's a C minus, right? Like,
yeah,
right. So
absolutely.
you do have to, that colors my opinion. You know, next year, if we said they won 11 games and lost in the first round again, you know, I'd probably go less than a B plus because expectations would be higher, right? Or I think they should be higher. So, but I, yeah, B plus, I think that's the right ballpark.
Yeah, that is a great topic with the Cowboys. They should for sure get a worse grade. Expectations higher, 2 seed compared to a
Yep,
5 seed. So no question about it. But listen, not and again, B and B plus does not diminish the great season the Browns had. It's just we got to strive for greatness, and that's taking the next step now, right?
sure.
If
And it,
you
you know, you're exactly right. And real quick, you mentioned that bad day to have a bad day.
yeah.
And maybe this is just me. When Kevin Stefanski said it after the game, and I think Miles said it too, I was like, okay, like that's a good line. And it's kind of true, right? Because I don't think that the Browns are that bad. Like, I don't think they're 30 points worse than the Texans. If they played 10 times, I think the Browns might win 5, 6, or 7 of those 10, right? Now, I could be wrong, but I think for sure they win half. Like, I think they're comparable to the Texans. Like, I do. Like, even as bad as they looked in that game. Having said that, it feels a little dismissive. And I'm not ripping Andrew Berry in, but that quote, when you hear it a week after that loss, bad day to have a bad day, it feels just like a tad too dismissive to me. And if you're a fan, you'd be like, I don't know. I'd almost want to hear more than that, you know?
Man, I'm so glad you said that because I when I heard him say, I wrote it down and wanted to make sure I brought it up. And literally, that is why I knocked him down from a B plus to a B. I hated that comment. I'm glad that you see that way. And I just, yeah, I thought that was a little bizarre to me.
Yeah, I get it because I mean I understand where they're coming from. It's hey, we're better than that, but it just felt a little too, like I said, just too dismissive of the loss, kind of, you know, like and I know the loss stung, and Kevin Stefanski said it, and the players said it, and you know Barry referred to it later in his press conference, but I think you know if you're a fan, you might want to hear more. That was gut wrenching as opposed to, yeah, you know,
Yes.
bad day, right?
I that's a great way to put it. Yeah. Almost excusey too, kind of. I don't know. But all right, let's finish out here. And anything else on the Browns before we get to the do quickly the playoffs?
Don't think so.
All right. Well, we both went 4-0 this past week. Got the Chiefs game. That was a lot of people thought the Bills. You and I, you agreed with the Chiefs. I just again, Mahomes and love Josh Allen. I love to watch him play, but that ending and what happened is, and very rarely does it kind of go the way you think it will. You know how hard it is to predict things in the NFL, right,
Sure.
Scott? But the Bills are a pretty easy team to predict. It's kind of how I figured it would go down. I feel bad for the kicker that missed a field goal, but at the end of the day, I really think Josh Allen kind of made some poor decisions there in that last drive, and Mahomes is Mahomes, and there you have it. Now we have the Chiefs and Ravens, and boy, did the Ravens look good.
Oh, they really did. And that Buffalo game's weird, Chud. Like, you know, Allen. If he doesn't get pushed into, maybe he makes a throw in the end zone. It's a touchdown, and we're having a different conversation. Does he need to make a better throw there, better decision? Maybe, probably. I mean, that's the difference, right? It comes when you're playing Patrick Mahomes. It comes down to you really can't waste any chances. And they had the ball, I think it was 3 times in the fourth quarter, and couldn't score. And you know, kudos to the Chiefs defense, but you know that is a knock on Allen, you know, I mean, you can rip McDermott for calling a bad or failed fake punt too. But you just have to be so good when you play Patrick Mahomes.
How about on the NFC side? Boy, Green Bay took San Francisco to the very end there, and then the Lions. The most comfortable, I said last week, the most comfortable game I felt was the Lions, and that came through.
Yeah, Baker kept him in there, right? I thought Tampa moved the ball maybe better than I thought they would. I think they ran it better than I thought they would. It's weird, you know. We talked about the line, and I think the line was 6.5. And Bowles goes for two, and if they get it, it's a 6-point game. And
Unbelievable,
right,
right?
and it's, I mean, I'm sure a bunch of people, I didn't have any money on the game, but I just had my pick on the line, but I'm sure a lot of people were sweating that. I was surprised that the Niners had as much trouble as they did with Green Bay, and part of that's Debo getting hurt early. Part of that is LaFleur knows how to call plays, and I think he's a really good coach, and we saw it the last couple of weeks going down to Dallas. He had a great plan against Dallas. Purdy struggled a little bit early, right? So I saw more cracks in the 49ers than I expected to see.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I said it when the Browns beat the Niners that the Debo was that he when
Yeah,
he
he
is
did.
out, it changes the entire offense. I mean, he McCaffrey's could be the MVP and all that, and he's amazing, but Debo's that extra weapon, not extra weapon. He's the X factor that
Yes.
changes that entire offense. So, whether he plays or not affects my prediction for this game. I'll tell you that. So let's get to it. I don't know if you want to go first or you want me to go first. Who's going to play in the Super Bowl?
All right, you want both of them at the same time here?
Yeah, we can do we'll go NFC first.
All right. I'm gonna stick with the Niners. I have concerns. I think you're right about Debo being a big deal. And even if he plays, he's not gonna be right. He's missed, he's been in and out of the lineup with that shoulder. I think Detroit's defense is vulnerable, and Shanahan knows how to scheme plays. I think Purdy is still good enough, right? Like, I know there's some, I know there's mixed opinions on him and his future, and if he's good enough, I think he's good enough. I think he can win the game. And I do think Shanahan's familiarity with Jared Goff, right? They cross paths in the north or in the west, right? Shanahan's been there long enough. That I think that matters. And, Goff, I like Goff, and I think he's exceeded what they thought in Detroit, and it's great that he's led this team back because the Rams, obviously dumped him. But I think he's got some flaws, and I think you can take advantage of some things, and I think the Niners will be able to do that. So I got Niners 30-24.
Oh, geez, I didn't even think about going score.
Yeah, you don't have to, but I wrote it down.
Okay. Yeah, I think if Debo doesn't play, it opens the door for the Lions to win this game. And I would not be shocked if they did. I think if Debo plays, I'd be more shocked if the Lions won. I think a 7-point spread, also Vegas flying across country. Maybe a little bit of an emotional, well, all right, they're not going to have an emotional letdown, but they won't have the backing of their fans, right? They're going to have to
Yeah.
go do it on the road. The Lions
Yeah.
are, they're not like the Browns, but Goff is a different quarterback at home than he is on the road, I think. And I think the Niners defense steps up. I am going to also agree with you and go with the Niners. I also picked them at the beginning of the year to go to the Super Bowl, so I'm going to stick with my offseason pick. That said, I don't think we'd be surprised next week, completely shocked if the Lions somehow pull it out, right? I mean, I
Yeah.
think we agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So we both have the Niners. I didn't really write down a score, but yeah, that's I guess I'd have to think about that. The over-under is 51, so you're right around that area, aren't you?
Yeah, I got 54. And
Yeah.
it's right on, I didn't know if it was, I thought it was 6.5, so I think I'd probably take the Lions with the points,
Yeah.
assuming it's 6.5, 7.
And you also the Lions, their running game is so good that that could keep them in it. So, that's something to consider as well. All right, I'll go first in the AFC, and I'm going to keep this pretty quick. I picked the Chiefs, 49ers. I'm sticking with my Super Bowl prediction. I'm going with the Chiefs on the road. I'm backing Mahomes. He proved he could win on the road last week. I just think at the end of the day, I'm going with Mahomes over Lamar. I know the Ravens are so good. They're at home. They're favored by 4. This could be a mistake, but I'm going to ride my prediction, and I just think the Chiefs are going to pull it off, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to pick against Patrick Mahomes. It is. And I don't know if I have. Like, I'd have to go back and look at my tweets and listen to our pod to tell if I've ever picked against Patrick Mahomes. But I'm going to do it here.
Oh.
I think he's better. I mean, Lamar's going to win the MVP, rightfully so. Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Lamar. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But the Ravens are like a solid, solid team. But right, they have guys at a lot of positions. They got big time playmakers. Their defense is really good. I mean, just all the stats, right? Like they led the league in sacks, in scoring defense, and turnovers. On offense, they had the number one running team. And you got Lamar, right? Like all of it. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think it's close. I think Kansas City's defense is better than people give credit for. It's had a big impact this year because the offense hasn't been its normal self. I think teams, they might struggle to score early, but I'm going to go Ravens 24-21.
All right, so we have a different one there. So you're going with the top seeds then.
Yeah, I
Ravens,
am. Yeah,
the
both home
teams,
teams, both, yeah, yep.
both that got a bye. Hey, real quick before we go, can you look at your phone real quick? I just sent you a
Oh my
picture.
God. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Do you see that?
Yeah. What is this?
So my daughter sent it to me. I haven't had a chance to really look into it, but it's the color of the Super Bowl logo the last 2 years and then this year. And the colors match the Rams and Bengals and the Eagles and Chiefs. And then that logo of the Niners.
That's
What do you think about that?
pretty funny. I do
Oh,
not
God.
believe the scripts, Chug. I don't believe that the league is scripted, but that's pretty funny. The
Well,
heck of
I don't know.
a heck of a coincidences.
Are you sure you don't believe
Yes, I'm
you
sure
have
I
the
don't believe.
Ravens Niners going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, not for that reason, Chug.
Not for that reason. I thought
No,
that was pretty.
that is
I
funny
thought
though.
when my daughter showed me that, I thought, oh,
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
that
So,
is funny.
all right.
Cool.
Well,
Okay.
good luck this week watching the games with your picks. Enjoy the weekend, and hopefully you don't have too much breaking news, and you can have a little bit of relaxation.
Appreciate it, buddy. And yeah, we got plenty of stuff still to talk about. So let's plan to do this again next week if that works for you. And
Yeah, I got nothing to do. I just get up at 2:30 in the morning.
yeah, you got plenty
So
of time. You got plenty of time. Perfect.
I'll be
So,
around.
all right, thank you, Chud, as always. Thanks everybody for listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you could read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.